You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 23rd of December. Jazz continue their winning ways, but it seems to not be enough for some. We'll talk about what we should be looking for. The Miami Heat are fabulous. Could watch them forever. And a Monday runaround. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Happy holidays. Hope you're doing great. Here's the plan for the week. I'm going to give you, I think this will work. I'm going to do this show today, so Monday you've got some content. Tuesday you'll have postcast from tonight available for you. Wednesday you're on your own. It's Christmas. Thursday, I'll try to put out a show, if possible, for you in the morning, getting ready for Portland, reacting to the Christmas Day games. Friday, we'll have postcast from Thursday's game for you. So there'll be content for you four of the next 5 days on the Locked On Jazz feed. If you don't already know about it, there is the Utah Jazz radio feed. That's available for you, lets you have play-by-play of games, coaches shows, and Jazz Game Rewind, which is done really, really well by our Utah Jazz broadcast assistant crew. So that also will have a recap for you if you get busy and miss some of the game. Thanks for those of you that have been tuning in on your drive home on the radio. Obviously, we're playing the early games, and enjoy it if when you guys take the time to grab it. Jazz win in Charlotte doesn't. And maybe this is just a reaction of the people that joined us live on Locked On Live after the on postcast. But the Jazz have won five in a row, and it doesn't seem as though it's making people, you know, particularly happy. I don't think we've been brilliant, but I also think that there's an area being missed here. So when we got run for that week straight and got beat by, you know, down 20 and down 30 and down just massive numbers on that East Coast trip after the loss to Indiana, the good performance against Milwaukee, kind of getting blown out by Indiana, the all sorts of things like that. Then all of a sudden, and now we've come back and won a bunch. I feel as though we've kind of missed the boat a little bit. And here's my thought on this. There was some question of that we might be terrible in that stretch. I don't think we've answered the question of, you know, why we were down by 40 Toronto, whether we can compete with the Lakers, whether Philadelphia, we beat Philadelphia and Milwaukee at home at one point this year. So I think it's a little weird that we've decided we can't compete with them. But, you know, on that week, we couldn't. What we've proven this week is that we're in that tier. Now, we may get run tonight. I mean, Miami's really good, and in some way, it's a weird matchup. I'll get into it in the next segment. But I don't really – so in our win streak right now, we've had our best singular offensive performance of the year against Minnesota. We've had our sixth best against Golden State. We've had our 11th best against Orlando. We've had our 16th best against Atlanta and our fifth best against Charlotte. And prior to that, we had our second best against Memphis. So we came out of a week in which we couldn't score against Indiana. We had a 116, which wasn't terrible. Or excuse me, against Indiana, we had a 102, which is pretty terrible. Against Toronto, a 104. Against Philadelphia, 90. Against LA, a 93. Against the Thunder in the middle there, we had an 88. Okay. So when we've played really good defensive teams, we have really had a hard time scoring. This means that this stretch was important. Where are we? Can we just not score? Or are we at a stage right now where we have a hard time scoring against the best teams? And the answer is pretty clear. Like, we generally have had a hard time scoring against the best teams. We had a brilliant game against Minnesota, very good against Golden State in Charlotte, and good enough against Orlando and Atlanta. We also, I don't entirely know what everyone wants. Like, our average margin of victory in these games has been about 7 or 8 points. Like, if you think we're going to win every game by 15, that's not actually how the league works. You could help your point differential, and frankly, we've blown a lot of teams out over the years. And so we could certainly do that, but it also, it's not quite how it works. The other one that I would say is our defense has not been great. And so that could lead to some, like I'm trying to give some credit to this. However, when it has had to be, our defense has been pretty special. And I'm not saying entirely that that's okay. Like, we've got to probably get better defensively in transition. We're not great. And, you know, we're not putting out 240 minutes of solid performance, 48 at each position. That's clear. But if you kind of look at our fourth quarter defenses against Minnesota, it was not very good, and we lost that fourth quarter, but we were ahead by a lot. Golden State, it was a 90 defensively. Orlando, it was a little high. We lost that fourth quarter, but we were up by 20. Atlanta, it was an 81, and Charlotte, it was an 82 defensively. I mean, that's incredible. So we've been playing these teams that aren't quite as good. We've fallen behind. We've done some of these other things. And then when it's time to clamp down, we've absolutely shut them down defensively. Our defensive rating in the fourth quarter of games has been really good. And we're scoring enough offensively, and we've been stunningly clutch. It's not something where I'm going to write home and say, hey, we're great again. But there was a question that seemed, in my mind at least, when we came home from that last trip, and that we might not be good at all. The Oklahoma City loss is the one that I think just is actually leaving the sting. Had we beat Oklahoma City, you come back from that. And now Oklahoma City's won 4 in a row and is pretty good. And when we go through our Monday runaround, we'll see how good they really are. But right now what you have is a team that is playing way better basketball. The ball movement is exceptionally better than it was prior. You have a team that has an issue with depth. Not surprising, frankly, when you're missing a $30 million player. There aren't a lot of teams that win a lot of games when they have a $30 million player on the bench. Now, that $30 million player wasn't playing very well, but the concept of how you build a roster in league is that we have about $116 million salary and $30 million of it's not playing. Like, that's a lot. Frankly, you know, the Clippers lost to Oklahoma City and the Lakers lost to Denver without a $30 million player this weekend. Because when you don't have a $30 million player, it's hard to have enough firepower. Our ball movement has been way better. Against Charlotte, we threw 332 passes, which is one of the highs of the year. Orlando, we threw 346, which is one of the highs of the year. Minnesota, we threw 340. We threw 260 passes on opening night. We threw 274 passes a game in October, increased that 24 passes in November, and increased that another 6 passes in December. We've been over 300 passes in 4 of the 5 games of this trip. Now, Miami, that gets interesting because Miami traps and they zone and they do all sorts of crazy things. And different things, and it's going to be super interesting to see whether or not we get caught up in it and or whether or not we're still able to move the ball. I think that's, you know, defenses can dictate the way they overplay and trap and do things, and Miami is one of those teams that does that. They will overplay and trap and do all sorts of things that make it difficult for you defensively. Now, they're only 11th defensively. Their offense has actually been great. Their shooting is exquisite. We'll get into that here in a moment. But it's an interest. So this will be an interesting one. I mean, I think this is a tough, tough game. But I do think that there are a lot. I'm going to use a skiing analogy. I know everyone doesn't ski, but this would be my skiing analogy. You actually do not, you actually get better skiing on the greens and the blues before you get better against the blacks runs. Okay. So when you're skiing, you're going to become a better skier when you ski green and blue runs. In other words, so it goes green, blue, black is double black diamond is the hardest. And if you're going to, if you're struggling, you actually have to go back to the greens or the blue runs with your instructor and have them kind of show you what you're doing wrong and explain that to you. And then fix it on though on the flatter, easier runs before you can go do it on the black. So what happened to us is we went and skied some black diamonds and we crashed and burned and had yard sales and lost everything. Now we've gone back down and we're skiing the blues really well. Tonight, we're going to venture back up into the moguls, into the blacks, and we'll see how we do. Does that make sense? I think that's actually a pretty good analogy for it. All right, let's talk about Miami as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located out in Woods Cross. End-of-year trucks, Suburbans, great deals going on at Murdoch Chevy. They've been with Utah for over, the Murdoch family, over 80 years out in Woods Cross at the Chevy dealership. The Silverado and the Colorado trucks are just remarkable. The Elantra, excuse me, that's a Hyundai. The sedan lineup is solid, but when you think of Chevys, you're really thinking of the trucks and you're thinking of the SUVs. I've been driving the Blazer. It's great. Sporty, looks good. I've had more compliments on how it looks. Everyone comes up, wants to know what it is, where to get it, what is it. Super good looking SUV, the Equinox as well. Then the Trax is the smaller one and the Traverse is the larger one. It's all out at Murdoch Chevy. It's in Woods Cross, also located in Logan. So make sure that you stop by before the year is end. See what the great deals that they have going on for you, tax breaks and other things as the year comes to a close. The Suburban, the Tahoe, the Silverado, the Colorado. Those are the signature items of the great Chevy lineup that's out in Woods Cross. And the Murdoch's no regret approach with you that has taken place for years on end. 80 plus years in Utah. It's Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also out in Logan. All right, Miami's really fun to watch on so many levels. They've got these crazy characters with these amazing stories that you, like, who's Kendrick Nunn, undrafted, not quite clear what happened to him. Illinois gets kicked off the team for, well, I guess he had some sort of domestic battery case, but what happened in that case is not clear. He pleads out of it. He ends up going to Oakland, scoring like million points a game. Golden State signs him, puts him on the summer league, releases him. Miami astutely signs him in April of last year, kind of at the end, with after he's torn up the G League for a year, to sign him for next year, knowing that they're probably going to lose Rodney Magruder. And he comes in, and now Kendrick Nunn is their second leading scorer, legitimate candidate for Rookie of the Year, averaging 16 points a game. He has cooled down a little bit. His month-by-month three-point shooting is down. Then you look at Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson is a kid who grew up in Maine and New Hampshire. He actually grew up in New Hampshire. He was born in Maine. He grew up in New Hampshire on an island. Who knew that New Hampshire had islands? Of like 90 people, he had four people that were in his class when he was in sixth grade in Newcastle, New Hampshire. He, as he said, in high school, I took 10,000 shots a week, which is just a lot. There wasn't much else to do. I don't know how you take 10,000 shots a week. Quite honestly, it's kind of an awesome number. He was 5'7" as a freshman, grew. He gets good enough that he gets a post-grad year at Phillips Academy, Exeter, which is the number one high school in the country. From there, he gets good enough to go to Williams, which is the number one liberal arts college in the country, Division III school in Williamstown, Massachusetts. He helps Williams go to the national Division III national championship game. He's the national freshman of the year, and he transfers to Michigan. He's so far off the draft radar list, he doesn't even get an NBA workout. He has one NBA workout in front of a team. Miami is there. He hits 25 or 30 threes in a row. He then misses one that hits another 20 in a row. He never missed two in a row in a workout. And Miami's like, you know, we should look at this kid. He spends last year on Miami, plays 15 games all year, spends the year in the G League, and is now a starter shooting 50% on catch-and-shoot threes. Incredible. They're just amazing stories. The player that makes everything go is Bam Adebayo. Jimmy Butler is their all-star. Bam Adebayo is the player that makes everything go. He's playing 11 more minutes this year with Hassan Whiteside going out. He's gone from 9 to 16 points. He's gone from 7 to 11 rebounds. He's gone from 6 to 10 shots. And he's averaging 5 assists a game. He's had 2 10-assist games this month, 7 10-rebound games this month, and 5 20-point games this month. He's terrific. They run great stuff. If you're a basketball junkie, Miami runs beautiful stuff. They have a play where Bam Adebayo sits at the left elbow of the free throw line. Over elevated on the right side above the three-point line, Duncan Robinson and, say, Tyler Hero, just for the sake of discussion. They're both there. Kendrick Nunn will pass the ball into the elbow to Bam Adebayo. He will then head over to those two guys. They're standing right next to each other. No spacing at all. They're standing right next to each other. So Tyler could pick for Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson could pick for Tyler Hero. It's not entirely clear what's about to happen. Kendrick Nunn heads that way, which leads you to believe that one of the two is about to come off a Kendrick Nunn pick toward the basketball for a catch-and-shoot three. The minute you jump to the high side, because there's no one else on that side of the floor, the other two players are on Bam's left side, to try to deny that, they go backdoor. There was a moment in the Philadelphia game where both Duncan, in this circumstance, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are standing next to each other over on that side. Ben Simmons jumped to Duncan Robinson's top side to try to prevent him from going to get that three. He immediately cuts back door. Bam has a wide open pass. He actually doesn't make it. The next, Kendrick Nunn's now coming for a pick. Tyler Hero backdoors in the exact same spot. Again, they don't get him. And Kendrick Nunn now circles back for a dribble handoff flip with Bam Adebayo for a kind of pseudo high pick and roll in the middle of the floor. It was beautiful. I don't even know they got anything out of it. It was just one of the most beautiful plays I've seen. And then the next time down, they ran the same thing to a backdoor cut. It just absolutely fabulous. So they're interesting. And the matchup tonight's really interesting. So you have the number one three-point shooting team in the league in the Jazz and the number two three-point shooting team in Miami. We both take about the same amount. Miami allows 40% of opponent shots to be threes, but they defend them particularly well. Now, that is usually known as luck. Defending the threes at the rate that Miami is right now really seems in many ways to be just fortunate, other than the fact that it's Miami and you have a tendency to believe that Miami knows what they're doing, right? Spoelstra and the crew don't have a lot happen by accident. But the particularly above the break three-point shooting, the variance between teams over the years gets pretty small. And so it's generally thought of as if a team like Denver last year has this incredible defensive three-point accuracy, that it's luck. Now, Denver, again, this year is doing it at 29%, so Denver might be doing something. Miami's at 31%, the second-best above-the-break three-point shooting team. Now, maybe they're just flying at you in a different way, but the league average is 35.5, 36%, and the standard deviation is pretty narrow usually by the end of the year, which leads you to believe Miami, some balls are going to start going in against Miami, so hopefully it'll happen tonight. Miami does not have very good defensive shot distribution because of that, but they survive it. We play the most half-court possessions, they play the second most. We play the least fast break, they play the third fewest. So that gets pretty interesting tonight. They're the second best shooting team. We're the eighth best. Both teams turn it over a ton. We're 26th in the league in turnovers. They're 29th in the league in turnovers. They go to the line a ton. We go to the line a ton. That's a little misleading. Anyone who turns it over usually goes to the line a lot. So we're both very good defensive rebounding teams and not particularly active offensive rebounding teams. Pretty interesting how similar in a lot of ways the teams are. The biggest discrepancy is we just don't allow nearly as many threes as they do. That's kind of where we're really different than they are. Otherwise, we're very similar. We allow the fifth fewest shots at the rim. They allow the eighth fewest shots at the rim. We force a ton of mid-range shots. They do not. That's we force 34% of our opponent's shots to be mid-range shots. Miami ends up with their trapping defense, their zones, their things, actually allow the third fewest mid-range shots and allow those to be above the break threes. And that hurts them a little bit. They can really stroke it, and we can really stroke it. That's what's going to make this such an interesting ball game in so many different ways. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate market and saving you money. So if you're in the market in this holiday season for a new home for the family, to make that move, do something like that, feel free to take the moment and look at what Homie can do for you, because Homie is changing the way the market works. Now, for years and years and years, the real estate market has been based on this commission system. So one agent gets 3% and the other gets 3%. Homie's changing that. Not only is it just a set price when you sell a house, now when you buy a house, Homie is doing it for you as well. Homie helps you all the same ways. You get a Homie agent. They will find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal for you, and then work to get you $5,000 back on the backside of it. Go visit Homie at homie.com or text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588. An experienced local Homie agent will help you every step of the way and find out about your real estate experience and see how the new world works with Homie. All right, let's do our runaround. We like to do this. Lakers have lost three in a row, so it's more fun to do this. All right, point differential in the past, well, we all know it's Milwaukee. Denver seems to have found their groove a little bit. They got not lucky last night, no LeBron, and they got the Lakers on the back end of a trip, but still give them credit. They're 20-8. They're the second best differential team over the last 2 weeks. They're the fourth best offensive team and the eighth best defensive. There are now, interestingly, there are five teams right now playing well enough that their offense and their defense are both in the top 10. So Milwaukee, Denver, Clippers, Oklahoma City, and are you ready for this? Portland. Terry Stotts' team is suddenly 14-16. Despite Rodney Hood's ACL, Zach Collins' separated shoulder, Terry Stotts is just a genius. Absolutely amazing work there by Terry Stotts and what's going on in Portland. The number one offensive team for the last 2 weeks should be a little scary to all of us. It's the Houston Rockets. They're not defending. They're 22nd in the league in defense, but they have clicked in offensively. Miami is the third best offensive team over the last 2 weeks. Portland is the sixth best of interest. Memphis is actually the eighth best. They're kind of playing that tempo, bothering people a little bit. The best defensive team in the league is Portland. Excuse me, is Chicago. Jim Boylan's crew. Still 12-19, but they've got them defending a little bit. Got to play hard. They've got them checking their time card in. No Kyrie Irving. Everyone talks about the offense. The defense is what's good in Brooklyn right now. They're 16-13. The Kyrie injury is really strange. Toronto, Milwaukee, then Portland is the fifth best defensive team. Indiana and the Clippers after that. Teams that are really scuffling. Minnesota, obviously, has lost 10 in a row, has fallen apart. Atlanta, Detroit, who was playing so well earlier, now has the third worst differential over the last 2 weeks. Orlando, Washington, Golden State, and then Phoenix is 24th now. Really, the Suns have fallen back considerably. They missed Devin Booker in a few games in there, but it's too bad to see. Ricky's not shooting it well. The worst offensive teams are Atlanta, Golden State, San Antonio, 27th in the league offensively over the last 2 weeks, and the Lakers. The Lakers are 23rd in the league offensively over the last 2 weeks, which is interesting because there was some question of whether they were going to be put together as well offensively as they thought. Defensively, Washington's just not playing any, nor is Minnesota. Detroit, Orlando, Phoenix, Cleveland, this is no surprise. And then Houston, I mean, the one surprise in the last 2 weeks, Miami is 21st in the league defensively. So that's a little surprising as we look at it. Overall, when you kind of look at point differential, which is usually a pretty good way to see where things are, the top of the East is Milwaukee and Boston, considerably, followed by Toronto and Philadelphia as your four home court teams. Miami's point differential is fifth. Indiana's is sixth. Brooklyn is seventh. And then Detroit and Orlando are almost minus two in their differential, and they're battling for the eighth playoff spot. Terrible. But the so we can have a play-in game for those teams. I'm all in for all this except for the silly play-in game for the playoffs. The West, the number one differential team now is Dallas, followed by the Lakers and the Clippers and Denver as your four home court teams. Houston knocking on the door at five. We're at six. Oklahoma City's knocking on our door for seven, and Portland is considerably higher than Phoenix now at eight. Is Portland going to make the playoffs despite all this? Just be incredible. Terry Stotts, great work. Oklahoma City, Billy Donovan, great work. I'm not surprised by Oklahoma City at all, by the way. Oklahoma City I had as a playoff team. Portland, healthy, I had as terrible. So credit to watching these teams kind of, the schedules can make an impact, but also watching them begin to figure themselves out as we hit December. That is today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Hope you have a great one. Thanks very much for tuning in to today's show, being a part of the program. We super appreciate it. We look forward to talk. So tomorrow, we'll have postcasts for you tomorrow. Otherwise, I'll talk to you after Christmas. So have a wonderful time with your family. Enjoy the holidays. Thanks very much for being a part of Locked On Jazz. It's a Monday, so make sure you now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.